Last week in our series on Acts Dispensationally Considered, we established that Acts is the story of the fall of Israel. Most dispensationalists, when they open this book of Acts, conclude that the purpose of it is to outline the birthday of the church, the body of Jesus Christ. While it is true that the beginning of the body of Christ is unfolded within the contents of the book of Acts, it is not the theme that God the Holy Spirit intended for us to realize. We are to realize that it is the story of the fall of Israel, and from the first chapter all the way through to chapter 28, we are seeing the step-by-step setting aside of the nation of Israel. Now, we also pointed out to you that the early Acts is simply a continuation of that which has gone before. Our Lord Jesus Christ had been conducting his earthly ministry for 3 years. He had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the chosen nation of Israel, and Israel's leader had rejected their Messiah. But after his death, burial, and resurrection, as it had been prophesied, and now is fulfilled, God is going to give Israel a second chance to receive their Messiah. And so this is where we pick up in the early chapters of the book of Acts. We are not seeing something new. We are not seeing or witnessing the beginning of something, but instead we are following through that which had already been revealed and was already being carried on. So the kingdom is in view, and God's earthly program and the nation of Israel is very prominent in these early passages. And Peter is the chief actor, even as we see here on our chart, that the kingdom has been promised back in the Old Testament scriptures to King David, and then it was predicted by the prophets. John the Baptist was raised up and he began to preach that the kingdom was at hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry confirmed that a kingdom would be established and that he would rule and reign in righteousness from the throne of David in Jerusalem in that future day. And so whenever we come to the book of Acts, the gospel of the kingdom is still being proclaimed. And Peter, who is the head of the disciples, is the chief actor. And that is why we see in verse 15 of chapter 1 that in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Then, if you will drop down to verse 20 with me. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So here, as we open to the early chapters of Acts, we have witnessed the post-resurrection ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ coming to a close. During that 40-day seminar, he taught them concerning the kingdom that was to be established upon the earth. And then after that 40-day seminar, our Lord ascended back unto the right hand of his heavenly Father until all enemies were made his footstool. So we are continuing right along in the fulfillment of prophecy. And as we come here to the selection to the successor of Judas, this also is in accordance with prophecy. Now, there's something we need to remember about the prophetic program, and we'd like you to hold your finger here and turn with us to Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. We're going to study a little later on in verse 21 this great truth. Whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. Now, what's the next word? Since the world began. As you understand the Word of God rightly divided, you realize God has two major programs in his Word. There is his prophetic program, which concerns the earth and the nation of Israel and the kingdom. This scripture passage that I just read reveals to us that that program was revealed by all the holy prophets since the world began. And so we can go back to the patriarchs, and we can go back to the prophets and the earthly ministry of Christ, and you gradually can see the kingdom program being unfolded. They, the people of God back then, knew that they were promised a kingdom. They didn't know when the Messiah was going to come and set it up. They didn't know who he was. They didn't understand everything about that kingdom. But there was one thing they did understand, that God had promised them a kingdom through their forefathers, and they were looking for that kingdom to be set up upon the earth. Then God has his mystery program that was revealed through the Apostle Paul, which we shall see in later lessons. And this program was kept secret since the beginning of the world and first revealed unto the apostle to the Gentiles. And so as we enter into the early part of Acts here, we are not yet transitioning to the program for the Gentiles. No, as I just pointed out just a moment ago, we are still under that prophetic program, which means we can go back to the Psalms and back to the prophets, and we can see it revealed back there. Now, as we go back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, we can see that there is a very important matter of business that is to be attended to. Our Lord's ministry of 40 days has been completed. As I said, he's ascended back to heaven. And he told the disciples and those who were his followers to tarry at Jerusalem. Now, they were to tarry there for 10 more days. Because, you see, after the resurrection of Christ, which was typifying or fulfilling, I should say, the Feast of First Fruits, then 50 days later followed the Feast of Pentecost. And that typified the coming of the Holy Spirit. So 40 days have passed. There are 10 days until the Feast at Pentecost. Now, it's during this time that they go back to Jerusalem, and there are 120 of them tarrying in the upper room awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, during that time, they are fellowshipping together, they are praying as they await the coming of the Holy Spirit. But Peter was directed by the Spirit of God that during that interim or that time they were waiting, that a successor should be chosen to fulfill the position that was left vacant by the fall of Judas. And so this is the matter that is being attended to. Now, some have questioned here Peter choosing or standing up to make the choice of a new apostle. What's the sense of urgency? Well, it's just this. The scriptures must needs be fulfilled, as it says in verse 16. Men and brother, this scripture must needs be fulfilled. So there was the fulfillment of scripture that needed to come to pass as it was spoken of by David back in the Psalms. Also, Peter knew from being under the ministry and teaching of the Lord that the kingdom was going to be offered to Israel just in a very short time after the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the Master had promised that the 12 apostles would reign on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes of Israel. And so it was important to bring the complement back up to a full number of 12. And so this was the sense of urgency at this time. And it was an appropriate time. They were tarrying, they were praying and seeking the Lord's will, and it was the proper time now to choose the 12th apostle. And notice that it is in accordance with prophecy and the kingdom. First of all, I call your attention to verse 16, that David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And then also in verse 20, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. Let's go back to the book of Psalms just for a moment and show to you that this was spoken by the psalmist. First of all, let's read back to Psalm 41. Psalm 41, verse 9. Many of the Psalms have a dual purpose connected with them and not only apply to the days in which the psalmist was writing, but also they had future ramifications. And so sometimes we have to realize in language when it seems like it's referring to the that actually God the Holy Spirit also intended it for a future day as well, and truth, and something that was going to be fulfilled in the future. And in verse 9, we have a description of the betrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, and hath lifted up his heel against me. That was a reference to Judas, who was guide to them that took Jesus. He betrayed his Lord and Master. And you know, that was prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before it took place. Then, if you'll turn to Psalm chapter 69 and verse 25. David talking about his enemies, and included in the enemies of Israel and of our Lord was Judas. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. That's what Peter is quoting here on the day of Pentecost. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 1. So we can see that we are able to trace back through those prophetic scriptures. And King David and the other prophets had prophesied that one of his chosen apostles would fall and would betray him and would commit suicide. And it came to pass exactly as the prophetic scriptures revealed since the foundation of the earth. Now, that brings us down to verse 21, to the qualifications. First, we have seen that the choosing of the 12th apostle is in accordance with prophecy. Next, we want to move on here to see what the qualifications were that were required. And then thirdly, to notice that it was ordained of God. Here in verse 21, Peter says, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." So here Peter reveals that it just couldn't be anyone. It had to be someone who was a follower of Christ from the very beginning. Now, it amazes me that there are only 120 in the upper room, and a good portion of them are women who had faithfully followed him. Think of it. Our Lord had preached the gospel of the kingdom for nearly 3.5 years. He is the master, the creator of all things. He went about Jerusalem healing the sick and raising the dead. But at the end of his ministry, there were only 120 that saw it necessary to be in the upper room and tarry and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we begin to see that while there were many that followed him, there was not many to choose from that could meet the qualifications. They had to follow with him as he went in and out among them, as he went in and out of the cities doing good and preaching the gospel. Then in verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now Peter becomes more specific, and he shows that it must be from the time that John the Baptist began to preach the kingdom at hand until the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, which takes in about a 3.5 year period. Now, why do you suppose the Spirit of God directed Peter, and I think he's under the direction of the Spirit, chose the beginning point to be John the Baptist? Who can tell me? Why do you suppose that one of the qualifications was that that man had to be there when John the Baptist began to preach, who was the forerunner of Christ? Well, I think it's very obvious, don't you, that that was the beginning of the preaching of the kingdom at hand. Oh, it's true. It was promised back in David's day and predicted by the prophets, but it wasn't time yet back then for that kingdom to come. It wasn't until God raised up John the Baptist and commissioned him to go forth and say, now you need to begin to announce that the kingdom is drawing nearer and nearer and nearer. And so we come to that point in Israel's history when we have the first announcement that God is going to begin to fulfill the scriptures concerning the establishment of this kingdom on the earth. And John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, was the first one who began to preach the kingdom at hand. Then our Lord followed, and he preached the kingdom at hand as well, and the 12 apostles. And our Lord began to teach his disciples and open their understanding that he is the one that was spoken by the prophet of old, and that he was the Messiah of Israel, and that they needed to believe on him. And if they would come in humble submission to him, he would return after his death, burial, and resurrection back in his second coming to set up that kingdom. So Christ taught them the things pertaining to the kingdom, and he opened the eyes of their understanding that he was their Messiah. He was the king that was to sit on the throne of David. So from John the Baptist, when he's raised up, when the kingdom was first preached, until the ascension of our Lord, which shows us the completion, that now the apostles understood who Christ was and understood more fully what was promised them in that future time. So it's during that period that the one who is going to be chosen to be the 12th apostle, he had to follow not only John the Baptist's ministry in the beginning, but also the earthly ministry of Christ for 3.5 years. And also you'll notice that this one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now, hold your place here, and let's turn over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 30. What was the significance that they had to be witnesses of Christ's resurrection? Why was that so important to the Great Commission? Verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, that is, David, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. That's the significance of these ones who had been following Christ in his ministry, that they were to be witnesses of his resurrection. Because when he raised from the dead forevermore, according to prophecy, he was raised for the purpose to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem and execute righteousness and justice among his people. And so that's what they were preaching as they went out with the gospel of the kingdom. They were announcing the good news that the kingdom is coming. The king has come and he has died and he rose again, even as prophet David had foretold. And now we are witnesses that it is true and that he's coming again. And so you can see the necessity then of these qualifications. Now here we want to pause for a moment, because there are many Bible teachers who say that Peter was out of the will of God. He should have selected Paul the apostle. Why, wasn't it God's will that the apostle Paul be the 12th? And they claim that Peter was merely acting in the flesh. He was out of the will of God. And God's choice was really Paul. That's why the Lord overruled him later on in the book of Acts, that Matthias was not the choice of the Lord. But you know, if you just pause just for a few moments and think about that, you can see how ridiculous that is, that teaching. For right here, the qualifications are what? That they had to follow from the baptism of John until the ascension of Christ. Did the Apostle Paul fulfill that qualification? Yes or no? No, he did not. He wasn't even saved at this time. Why, he was at this time breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the Church of God. He wasn't even a child of God at this time. He was the chief of sinners, and he was persecuting the church back at that time. So Paul could not have been one of the ones chosen as a candidate. He wasn't even saved. But then secondly, even when he is saved, there on the Damascus Road at Acts 9, he still does not fulfill the qualifications of that kingdom gospel to be the 12th apostle. Why? Because he was not a follower of Christ in his earthly ministry. God didn't raise the apostle Paul up to be the 12th. He was going to commission him with the great commission of reconciliation to the Gentiles. It's an entirely different purpose. No, we must come back to the time frame that Peter was living in and realize Paul wasn't even saved. He could not have even been a candidate because he did not meet the qualifications even after he was saved.
Then also, those who claim that Peter here is acting in the flesh, I call your attention to verse 23. You know, we read things so quickly at times that we gloss over things. But notice, verse 23, and what's the next word? They. That is a plural pronoun. They, it means more than one. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. Now, who does the they in chapter 1, verse 23 refer back to? To the disciples? All right. Let's have one more guess. The 120. Yes, I would suggest to you it refers all the way back to verse 15. Let's go back there a moment. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, so we know they were there, and said the number of names together were about 120. So he includes himself with the disciples, and the total number of them all was 120. So when Peter stands up here just prior to Pentecost, he's just not talking to the other 10 disciples in the room, but there is 120 of them all together. He is addressing them all. He is saying the scriptures need to be fulfilled. Also, the master told us that there were to be 12 to sit on 12 thrones, and so we must bring the complement back up to 12. That's the prophetic number. You know, there were 12 children of Israel, 12 princes in Israel, 12 tribes in Israel, 12 apostles of the kingdom, 12 foundations in the new city, Jerusalem. 12, as we have seen many times in our study, is the number of Israel, the prophetic number of the kingdom. It has absolutely nothing to do with us as the Gentiles. And so Peter is addressing the 120 in the upper room. And they are the ones who are choosing out the two candidates. You know, they started looking one to another, and as they considered all that were in the room, they only came up with two who met the qualifications. One was a man by the name of Barsabbas, and that has been suggested to be Barnabas, possibility, and Matthias. These were the two that were selected. Now notice, this whole thing is ordained of God. That's the next important thing for us to see. In verse 24, and they prayed, they again prayed, and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. So here, as they have the two candidates selected out, they went to prayer about it, and they bathed the matter in prayer. So they're not acting in the flesh. It wasn't Peter who was taking or lording over the group here. Instead, he is just providing some leadership, and the entire group is involved in the decision. And now that these two men have been selected out, they bathe it in prayer, searching for the will of the Lord. And so they cast lots on the matter. Now, there were different ways of casting lots in biblical times, and I'll use the more contemporary way just to show you. It's like taking four or five sticks, and four are long and one would be short. And if you get the short stick, then you're chosen. And that basically was what they did back at this time. And even the Psalm sanctions it, and the Proverbs, where it says the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. It was used hundreds of times in the history of Israel to determine what the will of the Lord was on any given matter. And so it was a common practice in the congregation of Israel. And so here they cast lots, and the lot falls upon Matthias.
And he now is the one that is numbered with the 11, and it brings our complement up to the full 12 that the Lord originally intended. Now, the thing I want to point out to you is verse 26, that these are not the words of Peter here, but the words of who in verse 26? The Spirit, all right, who is directing who to write? Luke, that's right. So Peter has been carrying on the discourse here, but now we see that it is Luke who is the writer of the book, and we take a turn here, and now Luke is given a little commentary on the remainder of the happening. And he says, and they gave forth their lots, that is, the 120, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So it is Luke, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, who gives the commentary of the conclusion of the matter. So it wasn't Peter who announces, hey, Matthias is the one. It's the Spirit of God through Luke to us who would be the readers that we are to understand that it indeed was the will of God that Matthias become the 12, and it was under the direction of the Spirit. Now, can we confirm that was God's choice and not Peter's, or just merely the 120 choice? Well, first of all, let's go to Acts 2:4. And they, that's the 120, including the disciples, including Matthias, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you think the Spirit of God would have filled Matthias and the disciples if they would have been totally out of the will of God? Why, this is an evidence that they were in accordance with the will of God, because the Spirit filled them all. Then also, as we come over to verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Now notice, Peter stands up with how many, does the Spirit say? 11. Now if the Spirit wasn't sanctioning or recognizing Matthias, he would have had to direct Luke to write that Peter stood up with how many? 10. Right? But we see that the Spirit of God had accepted the choice of the 120. He was in agreement with it. That way, when Luke begins to write here, he can freely say that Peter stood up with the 11 because Matthias was God's choice. All right, let's go to chapter 6, Acts chapter 6. Acts 6:2. Now we're further along in Israel's kingdom program. Acts 6:2. Then the, how many? 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said. So here we can see that Peter and the other disciples accepted Matthias, the 120 had accepted him, and God had accepted him, and from the day that he was chosen, he is always included in from that point forward, and we can see that it was God's will. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15:5. Here, as the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church, they were Gentiles, he is testifying of the resurrection of Christ. He confirms the resurrection of Christ in his apostleship as well. And notice in verse 5 that he writes, 1 Corinthians 15:5, and that he, that is Christ, was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, including Matthias. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, that would be at Galilee, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. So Paul says, if you don't believe me that Christ rose again, there were 500 brethren in Galilee that saw him. Most of them are alive. You can go see them. They'll tell you the same thing. But notice in verse 7, and after that he was seen of James, then of all of the apostles, that's 12. And last of all, he was seen of me also, of one born out of due time.
Now, as you read verses 5, 6, and 7 there, what's outstanding in your mind? What does Paul do? That's right. The Apostle Paul separates himself from the 12. Do you see that there? As he's testifying about the resurrection of Christ, he said, Peter saw him, then the 12 saw him, then 500 brethren, then James, and then all the apostles saw him again. Then I saw him. So what he does, he separates himself and his apostleship from that of the 12. And rightfully so, because the 12 apostles were the ministers of the kingdom, and Paul was the apostle of the heavenly ministry of Christ to us, the Gentiles, members of the body of Christ. So God here, through the direction of the Spirit, in the inspiration, directs the Apostle Paul to separate himself. God separates the 12 apostles from his one apostle to the Gentiles. And you know, we have to do the very same thing as we seek to rightly divide the word of truth. So as we witness the choice of Matthias, it's all in accordance with that kingdom program. Peter's the chief actor, and the reason they are wanting to bring the number to 12 again is because the master had promised that the 12 apostles would reign on 12 thrones in Jerusalem, and the scriptures had to be fulfilled. So you can see, as we start to gradually move through these early chapters, we're continuing right on with that which was already revealed and promised. And we're continuing the earthly ministry of Christ. So we haven't started the transition yet. We want to firmly implant in your mind that the early book of Acts is referring to God's earthly people and the kingdom. And once we get that firmly implanted, then as we move through Acts, we'll show you where the transition begins to take place.